We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the WEEI studios.
Brought to you by DuckDuckGo. Privacy simplified.
The home of the Red Sox. 93.7 WEEI FM and HD1. Lawrence, Boston. An Odyssey station. Time now for the Bradfoe Show with Rob Bradford. With Rob Bradford on WEEI. WEEI.
And streaming everywhere on the Odyssey app.
We're back, Stiz. We're back, baby.
Good to see you, Bradfoe.
Yeah. Bradfoe Show on the radio. This is it, right?
Wow. It's been a long time, but the man is back.
I mean, I feel good. I feel good. Despite getting on off a plane from Kansas City last night. Travel stinks, man.
It stinks.
Getting there is great. I mean, once you're there, it's super. It's great. But travel really sucks. It just sucks. It's like always delays. There's something always wrong. There's always some maintenance issue with the plane, which never makes you feel good. Anyway, hey, I'm going to get to all that. All my journeys the last week, it's been a thrill. This is the Bradfoe Show. I'm Rod Bradford. Big Shot Brian Barrett, Metric Man's coming up. He's going to be with us for the second hour. Big Shot, Stiz. He's walking around like the cock of the walk.
Yeah,
right?
Throwing demands around now. Get me a water. Get me caught.
I don't think you understand. I work for Bill Simmons. I work with Bill Simmons. So anyway, we'll get to that. Brian Barrett, unfortunately, as I tweeted out, the vertical drop in my disappointment is off the charts, but the launch angle for my excitement for Brian is also off the charts because he has got a great job. We're going to talk about that. He's moving on. Great times ahead for the Metric Man. He deserves it. Every little bat, last bit of success that he has in life, he deserves, and I'm going to give him a ample amount of crap for the next about between 5 and 6 all the way leading up to the pregame show, which Brian Barrett will still be doing. But let me just tell you, 617-779-7937. I want to get the phone numbers out there. I know that Jeff in Watertown, he has been wanting to talk to me for a long, long time. I know that everybody who has been waiting for the Bradfoe Show with the aforementioned host, being me, Rob Bradford, at the helm, it's been a while. You've been listening to the podcast. I know you have. I see the numbers. And if you want to listen to the podcast, keep on doing it. Subscribe to the Bradfoe Show. Rate, listen, all those things. Megaphone, Apple, whatever you do. Because we've been on absolutely on fire. My guy Coop has been the straw that stirs the drink in regards to the podcast. We've been all over the place. We'll be at an all-star game. Like I said, we've been on the road. We've been in Houston. We're going to get to that in a second. Kansas City. We've had on Papelbon, who Stiz, I don't know if you heard the Papelbon podcast, but oh my goodness. I want to play it, and I know I'm throwing at you. We could play it sometime in the show.
Yeah, we'll get it.
His honesty when it comes to using the how would you say it? The plant of cannabis. I mean, the art of cannabis. I mean, so anyway, the news came out right after David Ortiz went into the Hall of Fame that he was starting his cannabis industry, and Papelbon, who now is on Twitter, and he says, hey, I've been telling you, Poppy, come on, you know, like you, this is what you got to do, and I've been telling you when we're playing, so we had to get him on. Holy mackerel. I mean, talk about, I'm not even going to say off the rails, just honesty. Papelbon was great. It was, as somebody tweeted at us, it's the podcast which he is going to pass on to his children, which that's all you can ask. Pass the the podcast where you're passing it on to generations, those are the ones that you want. Also, the ones that you want where people are weeping and people are eating. And that's another one we had this week. Christian Vasquez ran down to the clubhouse immediately after doing the broadcast, after talking to Lou after the broadcast, went down and talked to Vasquez before the Red Sox left town. The last time we'll see him, maybe ever, in an Astros uniform, sitting in front of his Astros locker with his Astros duffel bag, all of it. We talked to him, and I wanted to get sort of his reflection on what was an absolutely crazy couple days for Christian Vasquez. And we did that, made a lot of people cry. So once again, go to the podcast. But while you're going to the podcast, while you're seeking that out, while you're subscribing, you can listen to this show. We're going to be with you all the way up until the pregame show with Brian Big Shot Barrett, Metric Man. He's going to be taking over, as I said. He's going to be with us between 5 and 6. But I do want to get into this week, the week that was, and really looking forward. Okay, a lot to get to. And I know that a lot of shows have talked about it, but let's be honest. This is the baseball show. This is where the football is at top of mind for most of these shows, for most of these hosts. I understand that. This is why I was in Houston. This is why I was in Kansas City. This is why I've been with the team. I want to give you perspective. Okay, so you go back to the trade deadline. And before we get to the trade deadline, I have to put it in perspective. When the Red Sox were going well in June, when we were talking about this team actually can be contenders for a World Series, it was with a caveat. And now this is when guys are healthy, this is when guys when the team is playing well, having this historic month of June, all of that. It was with a caveat. And that caveat was you had to add. Yeah, you were good, but you still needed a few pieces. And the two pieces were first base, at least defensively upgrading that, but preferably something along the lines of a left-handed hitting complement, but Bobby Dalbec. Boom. All right, you got that. It's fine. But the other part of the equation, going back to then, was another late-inning reliever. You didn't get that. And really, like, it was exposed. The Red Sox were exposed in not getting that other reliever throughout the course of this week. And I think it's gone sort of under the radar. So this go back to Heimblum. So you have that conversation in June. Now you hit the skids in July. You have all these injuries. Now you get to the week leading up to the trade deadline. And Heimblum tells Bogarts he's not going anywhere, tells Devers he's not going to go anywhere. Also, by the way, before they leave town for Houston, calls in J.D. Martinez, calls in Nathan Eovaldi, and tells them both what was what in terms of how they're going to approach things. So we have all that. Also, Heimblum says, I want to make the playoffs with this team. Now, I don't know, we're buying and selling, you know, we're going to work it out, but my goal still is to make the playoffs, which is what he told the team when he met with him with Alex Cora in Kansas City after the trade deadline. All right, fine. You want to make the playoffs. That's fine. And when you come out of the trade deadline, talent-wise, you could make the argument, you're slightly better. And we're going to get to, I've been remiss in mentioning, also, I'm talking about burying the lead, joining us on this Bradford show at some point, probably coming up pretty soon, is one of the newly acquired players, Reese McGuire, catcher. So you acquire McGuire, you acquire Hosmer, you acquire Pham. You get rid of Christian Vasquez. You get rid of Diekman. All right, whatever. I mean, you can make the case either way for it. But the problem here is this, is that you basically took away from two key parts of this team. You took away from, and Brian Metric Man Barrett did not like Diekman. I understand why, up and down, totally up and down. But still, there were times in this week where you're like, oh, man. Like, for instance, Darwinson Hernandez the other night. That was Diekman's spot. You didn't have him. I'm not going to focus on that. Fine. You traded Diekman. You traded him for Reese McGuire, who we're going to get to, I think, about in the 5 o'clock, at the beginning of the 5 o'clock hour. So you have that. But, you get Pham. You get Hosmer. You did not have to do either one and still trade Christian Vasquez. That's my problem. That's my problem. And I know that everyone's freaking out about Emmanuel Valdez, like one of the guys they got for the Vasquez deal, hitting home runs in two of the last three games and so forth and so on. All right. You know, Heimblum has not earned the benefit of the doubt when it comes to trading for prospects. And I said this after the deadline. What I would love to see, just once, and this is a simplistic way of looking at it. I understand that. But just to trade one person for one person, I don't want to get five prospects back. Like, I don't want to do that. Like, and I get you're covering yourself, but I want to get the guy that you are confident is going to be a valuable major league contributor. Because this is one of the problems with Bloom's trade so far, is that you're doing these deals and you're getting a lot of guys back. So you're getting a lot of guys back in terms of, you know, it might help. But you don't have a much certainty. And certainly with the Vasquez deal, that was the case. I don't know, 617-779-7937, 617-779-7937. And again, as promised, when the roster turns over, we get the people who are going to make a difference on the Bradford Show. There we go. There you go. Reese McGuire joins us. Reese, what's going on, man?
Not much. Just hanging out here in Kansas City.
Oh, man. Like, so here's the big question. So I saw you. You probably don't remember, but I saw you in Houston. I was in Kansas City. I came home. And the time-honored tradition of which is hotter, Kansas City or Houston? And I have to say it was a tie. It was a tie, right?
For me, I'm going to say Kansas City because Houston at least has the retractable roof. So
yeah, but I'm talking about I'm talking about just walking around, like walking around to the convenience, whatever. I mean, it's hot. Both places are like crazy. It's like soup.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Houston is super humid, but I think Houston still has a little bit of more of a breeze than Kansas City does. I was walking around the plaza today where we're at, and it was pretty steamy.
Oh yeah, it's pretty brutal there. But how often do you just want to jump in those fountains? Oh my goodness. Anyway, Reese, sorry. I did talk to you briefly, and what I said to you was like, congratulations. I think you have our baseballs and boring T-shirt, right? Correct.
Yeah, from Joe Kelly.
There you go. So you're already a member of the family here, Reese. Like, this is great. If we had to trade for someone, we want to trade for someone who already has a baseballs and boring question. Other question before we get to the brass tacks about being traded: have you worn it yet?
The shirt?
Yeah.
No, I have not. No, okay. It's packed up somewhere. I have like four suitcases right now. I don't know where anything is. I can't lie.
Sis, I'm wearing mine right now, right? Correct?
Looking sweet as ever.
Thank you. And do you believe in it? I mean, I don't want to force this on you. Do you believe baseball actually isn't boring?
Oh, for sure. I think I was telling someone last night, the play that I made diving on that ball against Salvador Perez, I was like, it's moments like that in the game that just, like, it's just fun. Like, you don't, you know, baseball's a game where different plays happen every night, and you almost do see something different every game.
And you know what I love? You know, like this, I told Tommy Pham this. Yeah, he didn't seem like I had to tell him walking by, hey, you know, nice job of running from first to home. But like, again, he's like, well, what else am I going to do? But like that play, like seeing a fast guy run from first to home, and I know that listeners probably don't care, but you know, I don't care. Like, that's what I'm talking about, right? What you're talking about, those sort of things, awesome. So there you go.
Exactly. Totally.
Reese McGuire. So you were drafted in the first round by the Pittsburgh Pirates, traded to the Blue Jays, and then traded this year to the White Sox. So you've been traded three times. Give me how this was. Like, I don't, spoiler alert, I've never been traded in the major leagues. I've never been traded in the minor leagues. So tell me how each scenario is different. Like, is it like, is there a different story every time you get traded? Is it just a phone call? Okay, just pack your bags. Here's the traveling secretary's number. Like, is there any good stories when you're traded?
I would say the coolest or, you know, unique one was when I was in the minors, my very first trade when I went from Pittsburgh to Toronto. I was enjoying one of our final off days before like a 20-game stretch in Altoona, Pennsylvania with the double A team, and we were all floating the river, like literally the whole team. And so none of us had our phones on us. And I guess that was also the trade deadline day. So probably not a good day for none of us to have our phones, except Kevin Newman had a life proof case on his. So he was literally the only one. And all of a sudden I'm hearing from behind me, cause I was floating in front of all them. And they're like, hey man, you need to call the farm director. Like, we think something's up. And I'm like, all right. So I posted up on a rock and waited for them to float a little closer. And then I grabbed the phone, and all of a sudden, you know, I'm making a phone call, and 30 seconds later, I'm like, well, yep, I'm no longer a Pirate, man. I just got traded. And they were like, well, dude, like, we got to enjoy the rest of this 30-minute float to get back to the car so you can go pack up your stuff. So it was a little whirlwind of a day for
which leads me, Reese, like, every trade deadline, you said it was at the trade deadline, right? Correct? Back then?
Yeah.
I mean, how can you not be floating somewhere at the trade deadline? Now, I mean, like, I hope you were – I don't know what you were doing at the trade deadline this time around. Like, how did that pan out?
Yeah, I mean, and we obviously a lot of teams were making moves and things like that. We figured everything was going to come down to, like, the last 24 hours with the White Sox team. That's just the vibe we had. And I was actually just sitting there eating some food with some of the guys and kind of felt the presence of, like, the GM and the assistant GM kind of just lingering around the cafeteria. And so me and one of my teammates are, like, looking at each other like, what's going on? Like, something's about to happen. And then, like, I just kept eating, and I finished my food, and I was sitting there for a little longer on my phone for a second. And then finally I just saw some, like, feet kind of creeping up to the table, and I peeked up, and they were like, hey, can we talk to you for a second? And then all of a sudden there it happened. So, yeah, it was –
What's that feeling like? I mean, are you like, oh, man, like, obviously you're with that team. You have been with that team since April, but you've invested yourself in that team, and you're like, you know, I want to get a good chance and a good opportunity in my career, but really, really, is that the feeling?
Well, I just think, you know, like, you can't – it's out of your control ultimately. And so, yeah, absolutely. When I first heard word coming out of spring, right at the very end with Toronto getting the call to Chicago White Sox, of course, you know, you're super excited, you know, new situation, new team, new clubhouse, all these things. And then from there, it's just, you know, you're trying to compete and win baseball games. And then, you know, so – I got situated there, but at the same time, I always know that just in this game, like, things can happen. So when I went into that office and I was told, the first words were pretty much, so we traded you to, and like, I felt like that sentence kind of like took forever for my ears to hear. And then all I was waiting for was to hear, like, to who, to, you know, like, you've been traded. I'm like, I'm kind of like in this office, like, okay, I do know I'm traded. So just tell me the team. And so finally, when it rolled off the tongue that it was the Boston Red Sox, I was just kind of like, I got so excited, to be honest. And internally, I had to kind of hide it a little bit because I really was excited. I know that in the last year or two, just in general, like, Boston has been a team I've played against, and with being with Toronto and the AL East and whatnot, and have totally always respected this team and looked across the diamond, you know, almost envious of this ball club. And so to be a part of it is something special, and I'm just getting my feet wet right now, but I'm pumped for every opportunity I get to help.
Reese, can I be honest with you? You say, like, you were looked across the diamond, almost envious. I looked at, like, that Toronto team, and, like, they're jumping around, and they're looking like they're having fun, and obviously it's sort of underperformed a little bit. But what made you envious of wanting to become to the Red Sox?
One, the history of the stadium and the fan base. I mean, growing up as a Seattle Mariners fan back home in Washington, you know, it was Boston, New York. So those were the best teams in the game. And just being able to watch, honestly, Jason Veritek when he was there. And that was one of the guys I grew up idolizing as how I go about my business behind the plate. And so when I looked across the diamond, I just, you know, I saw Devers and Bogarts and all these guys all over here that are superstars, but just play the game with fun and energy. And then also just the way that's managed, it seemed like when you looked across the diamond, that was a winning ball club, a culture that has its characteristics and they play together. So That's something in this game where you see talented teams and some situations aren't working out, but you look at a team that plays together day in and day out, and those are winning ball clubs.
Reese, I know you got to catch a bullpen. A couple more questions quick. Is it number one, you mentioned Veritek. You're a Washington guy. Had you ever met Veritek before you came to the Red Sox, and did you ever ask for his autograph? And maybe it was like 2 days ago. I don't know.
No, I never did get a chance to meet him, really. Even when I played in Boston against the Red Sox, I would always, obviously the bullpens are right next to each other, so I'd always see him and stuff, but I always felt like was like, man, I don't want to go over there and say hi and all this stuff because we're about to compete. But it's truly special. The first few days I've gotten to work with him, and I'm blown away with how knowledgeable he is and just how helpful he is. I mean, he seems like a very selfless person, and I'm really excited. And Ploiecki as well is really just like, you know, opened up the arms and just welcomes me in and trying to get me as comfortable as possible with the pitching staff.
And last thing, Reese, is that, you know, you had backed up, or you actually, I think Alejandro Kirk had made the team once over you, but you were like neck and neck with him. He's obviously taken off, and it just kind of shows you what can happen where, you know, you can be a guy sort of finding your way, then boom, it just all clicks. Since you've been with the Red Sox, you've done very well, offensively, defensively, all of it. Do you feel like you're on the verge of something in that terms? And you might, maybe you look at Alejandro and say, oh, look, that can happen.
Oh, absolutely. I think in this game, you're always setting your sights high. You always have goals and things like that. But you just have to remind yourself that, you know, this game is hard. And the guys on the other side of it are professionals as well. But yeah, when you get a little bit of that success, it absolutely helps your confidence and things like that, because it reminds me, or it reminds you, and just in general, that like you can play at this level and you can play with the best of them. So always shooting for those moments.
Roll Reese, I appreciate you taking the time, and you have just earned yourself yet another Baseballs and Boring shirt. So congratulations. But thanks so much. Welcome to the Red Sox. Welcome to Boston, and keep up the good work, and we'll talk to you down the line.
Sounds great. Thanks for having me, guys.
All right. That was Reese McGuire. Thanks so much for him joining. Great guy. I mean, like, I want to dig deeper, maybe a chance when I see him, about the whole Jason Varitek idolizing Jason Varitek. He grew up in Washington. Varitek, obviously, you know, out there, a guy who initially from the Seattle organization. So it's interesting when you forget sometimes these guys idolize these guys, and when all of a sudden you get a chance to be on the same team, and holy mackerel, there you go. And who, I would not begrudge him at all for asking for his autograph, in terms of if you're Reese McGuire asking Jason Varitek for his autograph. Just like 5 minutes ago, I asked for Brian Barrett's autograph. I'm not shamed. I know he's off to big things. Anyway, we got to take a quick break. We're going to do a trending, but get to all your calls. 617-779-7937. Let's trend.
Your home of the Sox. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
All right, here's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. Once again, if you want to listen back to the Reese McGuire interview that we just did, you can go to the Bradfoe Show. We are be posting that after the show. So good stuff. Good stuff, right, Stiz?
Always great.
Always great. All right, the Red Sox beat the Royals 7-4. Josh Winkowski went 5 innings, allowing 1 run while striking out 4. Jaron Duran and J.D. Martinez, he shed 2 RBIs. The Red Sox are currently 3.5 games out of the third and final wild card spot. We'll get to that in a second. The third game of their 4-game series against the Royals is tonight. Nathan Eovaldi gets the start opposite left-hander Daniel Lynch. Also, Eric Hosmer not in the lineup tonight. He was getting his scheduled day off. Joe Castig and Will Fleming have the call with first pitch at 7:10 across the Shaw's and Star Market, WEEI, Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh. Be sure to tune in to the Visit Massachusetts pregame show with Brian Barrett at 6:10, sponsored by the Massachusetts Office of Travel and Tourism. Start your Massachusetts summer adventure at visitma.com. The Patriots' first preseason game is Thursday. They host the Giants at Gillette Stadium. The Revs are in Orlando to play Orlando City SC. Kickoff is at 7:30, as if you didn't know. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. Right back to it. The Brad Foe Show on WEEI.
And streaming everywhere on the Odyssey app.
All right, welcome back to the Brad Foe Show. I'm Rob Bradford. Brian Barrett's going to be joining us at the top of the hour. Again, thanks to Reese McGuire for jumping on with us. Good stuff from him. We're going to be posting that on the podcast channel after the show. And so you're going to soak that in. Soak in the entire show. Also, Brad Foe Show on the radio. That's part of the podcast. Subscribe, listen, follow, all of that. I know that you're doing it, but I just want to remind you once again, because things are rolling out fast and furious. Pedroia, Punto, Papelbon, who else? I don't know. Well, Christian Vasquez, you name it. They've been on the podcast lately, so you're going to want to do that. And you know what else you're going to want to do? You know, want to listen to Jeff in Watertown. Jeff in Watertown, what's happening? What's happening, my friend? Good to talk to you.
Hey, Rob, it's been a while.
I know, isn't it? Is it like, it feels like all is well. And honestly, like, that's no fault of anybody. I've been running around a lot, and I'll get to me running around a little bit later in the show with Houston and Kansas City All-Star Game, so forth and so on. But it's been a lot of good times. But it's always good to talk to you, Jeff. What's going on?
Well, I'm glad there was somebody in Houston. Anyway, who's hot? Who's hot? Who's not? You know, Brian Barrett. He's as hot as a pistol. His hard work, his determination has all paid off for him. And then he gets high in Bloom, and he's as cold as ice. I mean, here's the thing, Rob. I never thought that high in Bloom could be in trouble this early, especially with the COVID year and the chaos there. This is a disaster. As far as it just blows my mind that somebody on so many levels. I mean, the trade deadline makes no sense. There was no... You know, the only person that's helping the Major League club is Hosmer, and that fell in their lap. It sounded like that was you can't tell me that was the
strategy. I would say this is that I don't know about that, Jeff, because I think that fam can help you. I think that in some way, you know, you might be able to catch lightning in a bottle with a guy we just talked to, Reese McGuire, who knows. But I'll say this, that's fine. But you didn't have to trade Christian Vasquez.
Exactly. I mean, that's the point. I mean, like the trade Christian Vasquez, at this point in the season and the kind of season he was having, I would think you would do it for something that's going to help the Major League club. I mean, if it came down to it, it sounds weird, but if he had to trade Christian Vasquez for Eric Hosmer, I could accept that because you had to give up something of value to get something of value. But no, he traded him because there's a prospect that he really likes and he might be good. But that's it's small market thinking. To me, everything he does seems small market, including not having anybody on the ground in Houston for the
trade. Well, that was, and Jeff, to give you perspective of that, and I'm glad I was there. I'll get to what you were saying in a second. But I agree with you, and I think and I think what I can hope is that this is a lesson learned by Chaim Bloom, which, by the way, you shouldn't be learning those type of lessons at this point. No. Honestly.
That's what scares me.
Yeah, you shouldn't be. I mean, this is – so what happened was you have that trade deadline dynamic, and always, having covered this team, you always have a front office person. Now, typically – it's someone who doesn't have a lot of say in regards to transactions, but that's fine. That's fine. Dave Dombrowski was the extreme. Dave Dombrowski took the entire front office wherever they went. I mean, they were crammed into this booth in the press box watching the game in Anaheim a few years ago, like 15 of them. I'm over-exaggerating, but a bunch of them. But that was why. So when this happens, the reason you have someone there is for exactly what happened. Exactly what happened. It was a mess. It was a mess. So anyway, go ahead. Sorry.
And again, this is a guy who came out of spring training saying the bullpen is still a work in progress, and then he doesn't do anything to help the bullpen at the trade deadline. I mean, it really looks to me like he had no intention of really trying to do anything to help the Major League club. He would tinker here, would tinker there, kind of like last year. I don't give him much credit at all for last year, because I think that fell in his lap as well. He didn't believe in the team last year. I don't think he believes in the team this year. And it just seemed like there was no thought in it. But, you know, between the small market thinking of when asked about Swarberg, and he says that doesn't keep me up at night. What keeps me up at night is an, you know, undervalued third baseman in the minor leagues or whatever. You know, that kind of mentality, that small market thinking, everything about him seems to be small market. And to me, like, that's a real damn, like, and that's the perception people have. That's the narrative around him now.
And Jeff, to that point, you know, you traded the guy. Like, they can say, well, we added guys and we traded this one guy. But in the minds of a couple key guys in that clubhouse, the guy that you traded was one of the most important guys. Like,
right, exactly.
Like Bogaerts and Devers were walking around for the next couple days. I can tell you, this had a very major impact. They did not view Vasquez like, certainly I think Chaim Bloom viewed Vasquez, how a lot of people maybe viewed Vasquez. They viewed Vasquez as a key part of that team, a key part of the clubhouse, a key part of the lineup, all of that. That's how they viewed him. Like, we kept focusing so much, Jeff, on Eovaldi and a JD. If you trade one of these guys, you've given up, right? In their mind, Vasquez fell in right with them. Like, that's how they thought. So
exactly. And, you know, in a big market team, he was he's been inconsistent throughout his career. He's driven me crazy at times. But he was hot all year. He's had a really, really good year. When you're a contending team with a big budget and a big city reputation and the whole thing, you ride that guy to the end. I mean, you know, yeah, sure. You know, if it was, you know, last year or 2 years ago or whatever, and he's, you know, you might, you know, you're not ready to contend, you might trade him, whatever, but this year, this is the year when all hands on deck, everybody's working. He's been consistent all year. He's having one of his best seasons. It's a free agent year, so, you know, he's got incentive to do it. You ride him out. That's what big market teams do. They don't get rid of him for a prospect that you think down the road is going to be a good value. You help the major league team now. He didn't do it last year. He didn't do it this year.
One last thing, Jeff, and I, cause I real quick, I want to get your real quick, reaction to this. So one of the things that I have a problem with Chaim Bloom, his approach, is that you can say, like, okay, this deal's a good deal, this deal's a bad deal. The one thing that he hasn't shown is the ability to say, I want that guy, and I am going to get that guy, even though it's going to get uncomfortable. Everything has to be a bargain. Like, Hosmer fell in the lap. Pavetta fell in your lap. Ottavino fell in your lap. Exactly. Like, you take advantage of it, that's great. But at some point, I want you to say, this is the guy. I hate to keep saying the Dombrowski thing, but Brad Ziegler, you know, Addison Reed, you know, Nathan Eovaldi. Like, that is the guy. Here you go. It's going to get uncomfortable, but we need that guy. I'm going to trade for him. That's it.
And there's no swagger. There's like no swagger with him. There's no sense of like, this is my team. I'm in charge. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to get better. It just reinforces that image of a bean counter in the back room, you know, looking over spreadsheets, doesn't understand people, doesn't understand, you know, the emotional side of the game. It's just counting the beans and you know, doesn't have a clue about the rest of the operation.
All right. Well, Jeff, make sure you call in for the Brian Barrett farewell show, wherever that is.
But Brian Barrett is the anti-Heim Bloom. That's what I'm going to leave you with.
Stock up.
He's the anti-Heim Bloom.
Stock way up. All right. Thanks to Jeff for checking on in. We give him a little bit more time because he is one of the Hall of Famers, Hall of Fame callers. Here's the Bradfo Show. Let's go to the next call. Tom and Kittery, what's going on, Tom?
Hey, Tom. Hey, Rob. How you doing, man?
I'm good. How you doing?
Having me on. Yeah, pretty good. Hey, I was wondering, Christian Vasquez, it doesn't make any sense to get rid of him. Do you think Heim Bloom's kind of like coming in, taking out one of the figureheads of the team, kind of starting the new regime type of deal? I mean, I'm still searching for answers on that.
No, you know, thanks for the call, Tom. And, you know, I don't think that's the case here, but I think that he just looked at it as he's of value. He's a tradable commodity. His contract's coming up. And I see these couple guys where we think he's going to be major leaguers. That's how they view it. What you don't factor in is that, you know, the impact that it has on that clubhouse, the impact that it potentially has on the lineup, the here and the now. And so this comes back to the whole thing. You're saying that you want to make the playoffs. That's fine. But a team that truly wants to make the playoffs does not make that deal. I mean, who says, okay, we're going to put our best foot forward? Because that's what it is, right? I mean, that's what it is. When you say you want, your intention is to make the playoffs with this team, it is about putting your best foot forward. And nobody in that clubhouse thought by trading Christian Vasquez, that was putting your best foot forward. Okay, before we go to the break, Allison in Cambridge. Allison, how are you today?
Hi, Rob. Nice to hear from you. I hope I'll be able to say goodbye to Brian Barrett at some point. I just love him. He's incredible.
The best, yeah.
I just wanted to say that quickly, Allison, that it strikes me that Heim, that it's like spam, that during that Moneyball was created for Oakland because you had to. Oakland and Tampa, they didn't have very much money, and so they did what they did. And what it's like is somebody who during the war, during the Depression, who was deprived, who had to eat spam. And then when the war is over and they don't have to, and things are not terrible, it's not a depression, they still decide they're
right.
Only
my
going
dad
to
loves spam. My dad, I was like, why are we eating spam, huh? What's going on? Because dad loves
some
it.
Some people love it. I also just have to quickly put out that I've been doing research. I found everyone that Dave Dombrowski drafted and everyone that Ben Sherrington drafted and where they turned into. And the fact that even Frankie Montes, that was came from our organization, and that Ben Sherrington drafted him to get Jake Peavy for 2013 when we won. Mm. That both of them. I mean, Dave Dombrowski was really a truly great GM, and Ben Sherrington also, and Dave Dombrowski was able to take a lot of the draft picks of Ben Sherrington and turn them into really good players. But I also have to get out one more thing: the offense. Why is nobody talking about? I mean, defense in the outfield. What is going? I mean, this is ridiculous. And so now we have a defensive first baseman, and we have no defensive outfield.
Yeah, well, it's a good, and Allison's a good point, and thanks for the call. Call back next week. But this is another thing. When we talk about putting your best foot forward, this is what it's about, right? Putting your best foot forward. You release Jackie Bradley Jr. Like, you release him. Now, was he going to play more than Tommy Pham? No, he wasn't. But that doesn't mean he didn't have a role. That doesn't mean that he couldn't serve a purpose more than Jalen Davis does. Like, I don't know how. I know they like Jalen Davis, but okay, you know, if you run out Jalen Davis at the top of the order all the time, is that a playoff team? No, I'll give you the answer to that. No, it isn't. But Jackie Bradley is served a purpose. I don't know how much of this was, you know, Jackie saying I want out or what. I don't know. I seem surprised by it. I don't know. But all I know is this. This is about putting your, if you're saying you're going to make the playoffs or you want to make the playoffs, it's about putting your best foot forward. And with Vasquez, with Jackie Bradley, even with the other additions, you didn't do that. There's a lot to pick through with the Red Sox right now, and this is a place to do it. 617-779-7937. I'm Rob Bradford. This is a Bradfo Show. Stiz behind the glass. Brian Metric Man Barrett's going to be joining us at the top of the hour leading into the pregame show, which he'll take the reins to as well. If you want to listen to Reese McGuire, he's on with us. That'll be online a little bit later. Once again, 617-779-7937. A lot to talk about with this team. We'll talk about it right after this.
WEEI. We are right back to The Bradfo Show.
Streaming everywhere on the Odyssey app.
All right, welcome back to The Bradfo Show. We're going to be with you all the way up until the Red Sox pregame with Brian Barrett, Brian Metric Man Barrett. He's going to be joining us at the top of the hour, so he's doing a lot of duties. He's squeezing in all of his WEEI time as much as possible before he leaves us. In case you missed that news, Brian is moving on. He's moving on in a couple weeks. Big shot, Brian Barrett, and rightfully so. He deserves to be called that because he's done a great job. I don't know if you know this. A lot of times I say this, and I don't really mean it, but I will mean it this time. Brian Barrett's brand has never been hotter. Never hotter! All right. So we were talking with Reese McGuire, the new Red Sox catcher, early in the show. You can catch that online in a little bit on the Bradfo Show podcast. Subscribe, listen, rate, review, all of that. Be nice. It's all good. And then we also had some really good callers. All of them after the Reese McGuire interview. Everyone talking about Heimblum and the Red Sox move to the trade deadline. A lot of frustration, and rightfully so. So before we get back to the phone lines, 617-779-7937. Before we get back to the phone lines, I do want to set the scene here. I haven't got a chance to do this because we were shot out of a cannon here to begin the show. A lot going on. But the Red Sox sit 3.5 back in the wild card right now. In front of them, also chasing the Mariners right now for that last wild card spot. The Mariners, the Rays, who are a half game up on the Mariners, and Toronto, who are 2.5 games up on the Mariners. The Orioles are a game and a half out. The White Sox are 2.5 out. Cleveland's 2.5 out, and the Red Sox are 3.5 out. Now, also to factor in, the White Sox and Cleveland are only 2 out in their division. So, this is the problem. This is the problem with the Red Sox. And we can paint a pretty picture to it. We can say the Hosmer signing is a step in the right direction. Pham, McGuire, all these things. Like, okay, fine. But there's some hurdles to overcome for the Red Sox. More hurdles than any of these teams that I talked about. When you talk about the Orioles, first of all, the Red Sox have to play a ton of games against the American League East, including Baltimore, including the Rays, including Toronto. All right? So you can say, well, you get to play them and they're ahead of you. The problem is that you have not shown one inkling, one iota of ability to beat them. Proof is in the pudding. Benefit of the doubt lost. That's it. You have not shown that you can beat them. So why you can say they're all ahead of you, that's great, but you haven't shown you can beat them. Also, you can say the Orioles, well, the Orioles, they jumped ship. They traded Mancini. They traded some other guys. They're not trying. Well, here's the thing. Ever since the trade deadline, they haven't lost. And you know what? The Yankees haven't won. Isn't that bizarre? The Orioles haven't lost. The Yankees haven't won. I mean, that's not to overreact to trade deadline, the importance or the non-importance of the trade deadline, but that's kind of a crazy stat, isn't it? So the Orioles haven't lost. They're 55-51. They've won 4 in a row. So the Orioles ahead of you. Now, the White Sox and Indians, I actually think, this is what I think. I think the White Sox are going to win that division. They're 2 out. They have the most talented team. And with the White Sox and the Indians, and even the Twins, like, they don't have to play the teams that the Red Sox and Blue Jays and Rays and Orioles have to play. This is the problem with the Red Sox being 3.5 out. Is that not only have you shown that you can't beat the division, but you got to play really good teams across the board. Yeah, sure, you have a smattering of the Pirates mixed in. I think you're the Reds in September. That's fine. But you by far have a more difficult schedule than these other teams you're in the mix with. Not even close. And the last part before I get to the calls, the last part of this equation when you look at this Red Sox team and everyone feels good after the win last night and Winkowski looked good and these guys, the offense, so forth and so on, and fine. The bullpen's still a problem. You did not do enough for the bullpen. You didn't do enough. It's just a fact. And I'm not convinced that Garrett Whitlock is healthy. He hasn't pitched since last Sunday, and he still has that hip issue. You see him out there when he was pitching. He's not right. And I'm not saying he can't throw, because if he couldn't throw, he'd be on the injured list right now. But he's not right. So you got to watch him. You have Hauk. You have Schreiber. You didn't help the bullpen. Your answer of replacing Diekman was Darwin's and Hernandez. That's a disaster. Okay, Austin Barnes have come back down to earth a little bit. Matt Strom still isn't back. You did not find answers. And Brian Bello, who, by the way, I thought might be an answer to the bullpen, and maybe he is, in terms of a right-handed guy. We've seen it before with Papelbon and Workman and these young pitchers who come up, they start, and then they go to the bullpen. Like, he could be that type of stuff. If you throw strikes, he could absolutely be part of the equation. Well, now he's hurt. So you're bleeding a little bit when it comes to that bullpen. All right, 617-779-7937. Let's go back to the phone lines. Howard in Boston, what's going on, Howard? How are you?
I'm good, Rob. Can you hear me okay?
I sure can. Yeah, I can.
So, Rob, I missed a little bit of the show, so I don't know if you covered this. But I'm curious to know, the Red Sox traded for Eric Hosmer, and it seems like the only reason they traded for him is because they got him for nothing and he fell into their laps. If Eric Hosmer had not declined to be involved in the Juan Soto trade, would the Red Sox have tried to get another first baseman, or would we be sitting here today saying not only did they not improve themselves their relief pitching, but they also didn't improve at first base?
It's a great point, Howard. It's a great point. And thanks for the call. I appreciate it. It's a great point. And my answer is I can't definitively say they would have gotten someone, but the way that they are reacting, the way that this comes back to what I said before about one of the problems I have. I give Chaim Bloom a tremendous amount of credit for taking advantage of desperation. You took advantage of desperation with Pivetta when the Phillies were desperate for bullpen help 3 weeks into that 2020 season. You took advantage of the Yankees trying to get in the salary cap of basically getting on Aveno for money, okay? And you took advantage of this situation with Hosmer. But none of these, and really, you have to show me an example of when he did something where you say, there, we traded for that guy, we got a little uncomfortable, and we needed that guy. Last year, same thing. You took advantage of Kyle Schwarber's market being down because he hadn't played since beginning of July, and he wasn't going to be ready to the middle of August. All right, fine. You took advantage of that. Austin Davis and Hansel Robles, undervalued guys. It's not like you say, teams are saying, I am going to get that guy and we're going to outbid them. No. I mean, so to answer your question, Howard, I don't think they would have, like, blown anyone away for Josh Bell. I don't think they were going to go out and get, like, Hosmer. They took advantage of that. That's fine. But at some point, you do have to say, hey, we need a late inning bullpen arm. And we're going to get uncomfortable. And we're going to go get him. And you can say you get uncomfortable with Jay Groom giving him up. But really, did you? No one's going to argue that. Because no one's going to say, oh, my goodness, like, Jay Groom is going to be part of the Red Sox future. No one's saying that. So, yeah, I think that all factors in the equation. It's a good point by Howard. All right, Russ in Connecticut. What's going on, Russ?
Hey, Rob, how you doing today?
Good, good. How are you doing?
I got a question.
All right.
What happened to Media Stars, Rob? I listen to you guys all the time.
Yeah,
for years,
right?
And I'm going to tell you.
Highest rated show in the history of weekend shows.
Yeah, but you know what? Brian Barrett's leaving, and he is more than a star. He is the man.
Well, don't spoil it for me, because I was going to break out the horns just for Brian Barrett, the media star horns.
Well, you need to do it, Rob.
Oh, you know,
and
I will.
As for you're the man. I have another question or a statement. Bloom could not be the CEO of Dollar Family Store. You know why?
Why?
Well, they're not selling everything for a dollar now. They went up to $1.25.
Ooh, ooh.
Yeah.
It's $1.25 store?
Yeah. They went up. Okay. I'm just saying that the handwriting was on the wall when they got rid of Renfro and Schreiber. they just let them go. Imagine over 50 home runs between those two. What would have done to an offense that was quiet? In all those games, we lost, okay? I've said enough. You get the idea.
No, no, Ross, thanks for the call, man. I hear you. Like, I hear you. It's one of these things where I keep coming back to it. Where you say that you wanted to make the playoffs and you want to make the playoffs with this group, you have to put your best foot forward. And your best foot forward was keeping Vasquez and getting a bullpen arm. If you're going to trade Diekman, fine. Fine. But as inconsistent as Jake Diekman was, he was pitching in fairly like significant spots. You have to replace him, and to replace him with Darwin's and Hernandez, not happening. Not happening. All right. Brian Metric Man Barrett's going to be joining us for the last hour. At least that's what he said. So good times ahead. We'll get to his new venture coming up. Very exciting. Call in. I know he's got a couple weeks here with us, but still might be your chance to tell him how much you love him. Always good to hear from people telling, like saying, hey, you know what, Brian? You did a good job. You did a good job. Thanks, Rob Bradford, for helping you become what you are today. Right, Stiz?
I mean, I was thinking that earlier. The first time I ever met Brian, it was through one Rob Bradford.
Well, was it?
So.
You know, listen, we can read. Hour. Brian was a very mild, meek, like talking by himself guy. Wasn't until you and I got our clutches on him, Stiz.
Started drinking soda.
Listening
to music.
Dabbling in the solid food. Like all of it. All right. 617-779-7937. Join the fun here. Bradford Show. I'm Rob Bradford. Be back after this.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.